I'm Sandy Caldwell. This is Quilt Cabana Corner, and this is our 20th episode. I hope you've all had a great month. I'm happy to be back. I have lots to talk about. So grab your coffee. You know the drill. Go get that coffee and come on back and join me. On today's episode, we're going to be reviewing a few of the comments I had on the last podcast research question. I'm going to talk about the Anne the Grand site website. I want to talk to you about my video cast, about my guild's quilt show this weekend, and about a business series that Leah Day is blogging about. And I'll also fill you in on my quilter's hip and physical therapy and all kinds of stuff. Just hit play and join me. So, I also have a book review on Doodle Stitching, the Motif Collection by Amy Ray. So, I will be recording this podcast in two segments. The segment before I go to the grocery store and the segment when I come home from the grocery store. Currently, I'm on the computer and I'm uploading episode 6 of the Quilt Cabana video cast, which will be up on YouTube very shortly. If you haven't watched the video cast yet, you really have to. Not only because I'm taking the time to do it, but because I think that you'll really, really enjoy it. I find myself very much looking forward to recording the video each week. I did miss last week because I was busy, and if you were reading my blog this week, you'll see I was having this big revelation that I just don't have time to do everything. So, unfortunately, the video cast had to be sacrificed last week, but I'm doing it today on Tuesday instead of Thursday, which will sort of serve as the video cast for last week and this week. And in the video cast, I take you out to my garden, and I show you what's new on my cutting board, which isn't very much because I had a busy week. I show you my hexagon project, and also my Project Life scrapbooking project. And I also have a magazine review. So go to YouTube when you're done listening here and click on Quilt Cabana channel, or just look up Quilt Cabana or Quilt Cabana Corner and you should find it. And then let me know what you think. I hope that you will enjoy it as much as I'm enjoying taping them. So next up, I wanted to talk about my guild's quilt show, which was this weekend. Was a fabulous quilt show with nearly 200 quilts. I think they had room for more quilts than they had, but people just didn't have their work finished on time. So I think hopefully next year we'll see some more quilts, or instead of maybe allowing the members to only enter 2 quilts in the show, maybe it should be that you could enter 3 if you want to, if you have them all made, why not? It was held at the Watertown Arsenal Center for the Arts, which is where we have our Quilt Guild meetings. And this show is a well-oiled machine. From what I understand, the putting up of the quilts and the taking down, it's very, very organized. You do have to have your quilts there on Thursday morning at, I don't know, I want to say 8 o'clock. They'll take the quilts in from 8 to 9, but that is it. My mom lives in Watertown, so thankfully I have her to drop my quilt stuff off for me, because I live an hour away, and there's absolutely no way that I could ever, ever, ever get to Watertown from where I live on a Thursday morning for 8 o'clock, not with trying to get 3 kids ready for school. So I'm very thankful. Thank you, Mom, if you're listening, for taking care of that. There's also a really wonderful boutique there. They have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that people have worked on all year long. And I did have a few things in there. Nothing really sold, unfortunately, so I guess people were looking for things other than patterns that day. But my mom took that stuff for me, too, so that was really great. And on Friday night, it was the members' night for the show, where you paid half price, $3, and anyone you wanted to bring with you could also just pay $3. And then beginning at 6:30 in the evening, they had crackers and cheese and wine and a big cake and some other goodies, you know, to celebrate our big year-end quilt show. And I brought 2 of my daughters with me, and they really, really enjoyed doing the scavenger hunt that I think was new to the show this year. So they went around with their pencils and their list of things that they had to find in quilts, and they did a pretty decent job. I think they got almost all of them. And I enjoyed getting to see the quilts ahead of time, so that when I went back the next day to work my shift from 10 to 1 at the gate, after that, I went and walked the show, but I didn't have to walk it too much because I had already seen most of everything on the Friday night. But it was nice to take a little longer look and read the booklet and all that kind of stuff that you really can't do with two kids with you. Although they were excellent, they were, you know, kind of took care of themselves, but it's not quite the same as walking a show by yourself or with another adult. I'm sure you all know that, right? So that was the quilt show. My mother worked several shifts. I think I had signed up for two, but I was really only assigned one. I stayed a little bit later at my post at the gate because I was really enjoying myself talking to all the people who came in and talking to my fellow guild members, one of which I had not met before, and her name was Chrissy, and she was such a lovely person to talk to, and she was busy working on her hexagon project. And I had forgotten to bring any type of handwork at all, so that was a little bit of a bummer for me. But I didn't really have that much time because it was raining on Saturday, so it was pretty busy. I think most people who may have been doing yard work, had it been sunny out, decided to come out to the quilt show instead. So that worked out great. And let's see. Oh, I especially loved being at the gate because I like to hear quilters come in and fight over who's paying for the admission tickets. It just sounds so much like my mom and I. No, you drove, so I'll pay for this. Or, you know, you said you were paying for lunch, so I'll pay for the tickets. It's just hilarious. Quilters are all the same no matter where you go. All wonderful, caring people who want to help their friends and, you know, see what there is to see at a quilt show and talk to people. And they're just so friendly and complimentary. I received lots of comments on the quilts that I had in the show, even though they were small pieces of art compared to some of the other ones, but it was my first attempt at entering artsy type quilts. So I did enter my Fusoscope quilt and I entered my migraine quilt. And I ran into a man at Panera Bread, which was right next door. After I was done with my shift, I walked over to Panera Bread to get something to eat before I drove home. And the man was sitting there, and his wife was in line getting the food, and I knew he had been at the show because he had his booklet with him, and because I sold him his ticket. So I said, he ended up sitting at the same table that I was at, and I said, oh, did you enjoy the quilt show? And he was saying how he enjoyed it very much, and that he had quilted himself, and that he had three daughters, same as me, and how he and his wife had made quilts for each of the daughters. And then he asked me if I had a quilt hanging in the show, and I said, yes, I had two. And I said, I had my Fusoscope, and then I had my migraine quilt. I said, those were my attempts at being artsy this year. And the man said, oh, I don't remember any of the quilts I saw in there today, but I certainly do remember the migraine one. So I guess it struck a chord with someone. So that's good. And also, on my ride up to the quilt show, I was listening to Darla from the Scientific Quilt Podcast, and she was describing her experience at working at a large show in her area. It was the Machine Quilters show. I don't know if it was the Machine Quilters Expo, or I think she might have called it something else, but it sounded like she had a really great time volunteering her time at putting quilts up and taking quilts down and getting to attach the ribbons to them. So if you have a chance, head on over to Darla's podcast because it's really interesting. And it was just long enough that I was able to listen on my hour drive up in about 40 minutes of the ride home. So check that out. I just wanted to mention to you a website that I've been on recently, and I used to be on a long time ago when I got my embroidery machine. And I got that, not the amazing card, I forget what it's called. It's the other machine where you can download files from a computer and turn them into designs for your embroidery machine in the PES file format, which is what a lot of embroidery machines use. And when I had first started doing that, I found this site called Anne the Gran, www.annthegran, and she has free downloadable embroidery designs, and you just have to sign up. It doesn't cost anything. Like I said, it's free, and it entitles you to go in and download any of these designs that you want, and they're in the PES format, and I think they're a zip file, and then you would just either use them right on your computer if that's the type of machine you have, or use the amazing card or whatever that little machine is called. I can't think of the name of it right now. So she has some cool stuff. And then the other thing, if you remember at Christmas time, I was working on a watercolor nativity quilt, and it had the little like 1-inch squares that were all different fabrics, but when you look at it from far away, it looks like a watercolor. Those patterns are made by a company called WHIMS, WHIMS. And on the And the Grand site, she has the largest collection of those patterns that I've seen. So if you're into the watercolor quilts, check that out. And then something else I thought was interesting, And the Grand also sells the fabric strips. Because if you look at one of those quilts and you think, oh, I could do that, I could come up with that, you're really never going to find all those fabrics in the different values to make a nice watercolor background. You could, but I'd definitely be hard-pressed to look in my stash and find all those pretty florals. So she has two items. One is an 11-inch watercolor strip package, and she sells that for $37.95. And the other is a 22-inch watercolor strip packet, and it has all the different values in it. Let me just see if I can find a description. It says 22-inch watercolor strips. Watercolor 2-inch strip packets contain 100 pieces, each of different fabrics, all 100% cotton fabrics, Hoffman, RJR, South Sea, etc. Excuse me. They are hand-selected by a watercolor quilt instructor, comes in lengths of 22-inch. These reasonably priced kits provide pre-cut die-cut squares, pre-sorted lights, mediums, darks, color photo, applique fabrics, patterns, layout graph, and instructions. So I'm actually thinking this last piece where it says the pre-cut die squares and the photo and the applique fabrics and stuff, that's if you're buying an actual pattern, but if you did want to try to design one yourself, I would definitely check out Ann LeGrand. She's got a great stuff. She also has a blog and a forum and a gallery. So again, andthegrand.com. Another interesting thing that I found recently that I wanted to mention is that on Leah Day's website, which is the Free Motion Quilting, freemotionquilting.blogspot.com website, Leah Day has started this awesome business series on how to turn your quilting hobby into a business. And one of the first posts about it, I think she's had 9 now, and they come out on Sundays. The first post was about determining whether you really want to turn your quilting hobby into a business and things that you need to think through to decide if you're ready to make that step financially and to invest your time. So, of course, we all know Leah Day is so famous for her free motion design 365 projects she did last year. She did a free motion design project every day for the entire year, and she's offered those free on her blog. She's so young, but she has so much business insight. I really enjoy her posts, and I'm really, really enjoying this little business series she has. So if you go on her blog, I think not the post that's listed first, but maybe the one that is after that, is the number 9 episode of the little series she's doing. So if you are interested in finding out more about what it takes to get an internet business going, tune into her. She's a great, great resource for not only the free motion stuff, but for business as well. So the cupboards are bare around here, and I really have to go grocery shopping. So when I return, we will be discussing the book Doodle Stitching, the Motif Collection. And I will be telling you a little bit about my physical therapy for my hip. And we'll also chat a little bit about the podcast question research answers. So I will be back. Stay tuned. Okay, I'm back. Got those groceries in the house. Had my lunch. I'm ready to go again. So my hip has been bothering me for at least since April. And I know I've talked about it maybe on the podcast before, but definitely in my blog. And what it is something that feels like a carpal tunnel, but of the hip instead of the wrist. And I know it's from overuse of my right leg on the gas pedal in the car, because I drive around a lot, and the foot pedal of my sewing machine. It's that same up and down motion of my foot, and I think it's just kind of caused some wear and tear on some ligaments in my hip. So when I went to the doctors, they didn't think anything was broken. They really thought it was more of a muscle ligament balance type issue. So sentenced me, but they have prescribed to me that I need to go to physical therapy. So I went there and had my initial evaluation, and they think I need to go twice a week for an hour to try to build up the muscle on my right leg. So I'm very inconsistent when it comes to things regarding my own health care, which I'm sure many of you are. I think it's just that we're so busy taking care of everyone else that we tend to fall down on the list of priorities when it comes to health. So I know that with the physical therapy and the exercises, it's all me. If I don't do these exercises, my hip won't get better. And I need it to get better because it's awfully painful just to walk around the mall or, the day we went down to Plymouth, it was killing me then. I have 2 Disney trips coming up, and the running joke in the house is that Mom's gonna need a scooter at Disney, and hopefully I won't. So I have stretching exercises, and then this week they added some strengthening exercises in, so hopefully that will take care of it. But, you know, if you're like me, you drive a lot, you sew a lot, make sure you get up and move around too. You really have to work those legs so that you don't lose the use of them. So anyways, that's my public service announcement for this podcast. Get up and move around. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this book I have here. It's called Doodle Stitching, The Motif Collection by Amy Ray, 400 Plus Easy Embroidery Designs. I did talk about this book briefly on the video cast this morning, which would be episode 6 of the video cast on YouTube. I didn't show a whole lot of it, though, because I wanted to talk about it today on this podcast, and maybe I'll go back and show some more of it next week on the video. But my mom had ordered this book for herself, and then she decided that I was doing a little more embroidery than she was, and so perhaps maybe I would like it instead. So I said, thank you very much, I'd love it. And it includes a CD and 17 projects to make. And just the cover of this book, it's sort of a clean white with blue and red. It's just very inviting. It's a nice size, too. It's probably like maybe 9x9 or something. It's a nice little square book. And it does have the CD in it, as I said. And in the beginning, the introduction talks about how the girl likes to embroider. And it goes on to talk about the essentials of embroidering, the materials and tools that you need. Embroidery hoop, embroidery and sewing needles, floss, stabilizer, iron, non-permanent fabric pens, sewing scissors, straight pins, thimble, transfer, tracing tools, and tweezers. Now, I don't use a hoop when I'm embroidering because usually I'm embroidering on a quilt and it's 3 layers. And 3 layers is kind of hard to hoop up, and I don't find that I really need it. She also talks about what's in her floss box, the colors that she has and what numbers they are, which is important if you're going to go out and buy the exact same colors that she uses in these designs. She has a section on transferring the patterns, choosing and combining different motifs, and a nice stitch library. She's got the straight stitch and how to do it. All these are nice instructions on how to do these stitches. Straight stitch, cross stitch, star stitch, split stitch, which I recently started using and I love it, stem stitch, which is similar to that, back stitch, chain stitch, blanket stitch, herringbone stitch, threaded running stitch, French knot, lazy daisy, feather stitch, fly stitch, and the scallop stitch, satin stitch, and the long and short stitch. So that's a decent library of stitches. That's more than in some of the other books I've seen. She also talks a little bit about things that you can embroider on and how you can embroider with beads. The project she includes is a sweet baby bodysuit, so like a little onesie. Kitchen coasters, which I think are adorable. They're in those acrylic plastic coasters that you can get at Michael's and Joann's. I might try something like that. That looks really cool. I might try the coasters. Curtain tie backs. All-weather draft dodger. A flag banner. A fabric basket. That looks interesting, but not like it would hold very much. Lounge pants. She's made some fleeces. This is interesting. She has instructions for fleece pajamas. And for the pattern, you use a pair of fleece pajamas that you already have. And she tells you how to do that and then how to embroider on the leg of them. Super cute. Satin drawstring gift bags. Gift tags. Snowy day hat and mittens. So she's embroidered on something that has been knitted. And some hoop frame, just embroidery art, which is kind of a cool idea. Party napkins and rings. A parasol. A double reversible pop-out pillow. It's kind of cute. And then some little soft sculptures that a baby could play with. A tote bag, a farmer's market tote bag. She also embroiders on wood. Balsa wood, which must be thin. That's kind of interesting. And then for the motifs, she's included an alphabet, a section called Asian Chic, baby motifs, celebrations, circus. The circus ones are really cute. Embellishments like, you know, feathery paisley type things. Flowers, farm animals, more flowers. Food, fruits and veggies. Space, garden theme. Sweet shop with cute little cupcakes and candies and things. Donuts. Trees and leaves. Under the sea. Weather. She got snowmen, clouds. Winged wonders, butterflies and dragonflies. Woodland animals, so cute. Deer, raccoon, owls, bunnies. She's got a cuckoo clock that looks like it does belong in a woodland fairy tale. Gnomes. Oh, those Matryoshka dolls. I think that's how you say it, the little Russian stacking dolls. She's got a section on woodland fairy tale with mushrooms. Oh, that's the same section, sorry. And then some templates for charms and gift tags and things. So this is a really cool book. I'll show it again in a little more detail on the video cast. But I definitely recommend it. I'm not sure what my mom paid for it. I think she got it on Amazon. And the retail of this is $14.95. I don't think she paid that much. I think maybe she paid, well, maybe like $7 or $9 or something. So, and it's put out by Lark Crafts. So that's an excellent book. One that's definitely a good addition to your embroidery book library. So I just looked up on Amazon and the book is like $8.23 and it's eligible for free shipping if you have over $25 worth of merchandise. So that's a pretty good deal for that book. Plus, like I said, it has the CD, so you know you can probably maybe enlarge the designs or reduce them. All right, so let's move on to the last part of the podcast, which are the results of the podcast question that I had posted on the Big Tent and Twitter and Facebook. I didn't get too very many responses from this, and I think I know why. I think it was just, you know, there's really only one answer to this question. The question was, what did I do with the question? I had the question. Well, I'm not going to read it word for word, I guess, because I can't find it. But it was like, basically, what do you do with all the quilts that you have? Are you starting to be inundated by your quilts? Like, I'm starting to get a whole lot of wall hangings around here that are really just sitting on the quilt rack because you can only hang so many. And I don't really want to give them away because they've been in the book or they've been in magazines or they mean something special to me. So it was a two-part question. What do you do with all the quilts that you make? And the second part was, is there a quilt that you just could never, ever, ever give away? So on the Big Tent, my mother answered, Judy Holmes. She says, as you know, I'm struggling with what to do with my wall hangings. I like to keep some to rotate on my walls. However, you just can't give a medium or large wall hanging to someone when you don't know if they will like them or want to hang them on their own walls. Maybe they would, but they don't have room. That's a good point. It's hard to give a wall hanging to someone and expect them to hang it in their home, especially if they have a certain decor that they're going for. You know, like my living room and everything is now Tuscan themed, so I wouldn't really want to put some, you know, retro fabric wall hanging up there, for instance. So she goes on to say, if someone expresses a special interest in a wall hanging or table runner, then there's a good chance to gift the item. If a person doesn't want to part with the item, they could make another one the same and give or donate the second one. Another idea is to donate them to a church fair. The only problem would be that if it doesn't sell, you would want it back, or to either give it to someone or to keep it yourself. She also says it's easier to make bed quilts or lap quilts to give away because people can always use a quilt to keep warm. Wall hangs are a different story. I think people could easily use a table runner also. And then she says, the one wall hanging I made that I don't want to sell or give away is my underwater scene. I just love it, and I spent a lot of time adding beads to it, and it's really beautiful. We took a beading workshop, and my mother really went to town on beading this whole underwater scene quilt. And it's gorgeous, and it hangs in her bedroom, and she definitely could never give that away. All right, so thank you, Mom, for that answer. And then let me check over here in Twitter. DDR Quilter says, the first 10 years I gifted all the quilts I made. Sweet-talked my darling daughter through college, much adolescent, young adult angst, and heartbreak. So for the first 10 years, she gifted them. And then, and then she gave me a second tweet that says, that's the first one, hold on. I wrapped my love and support around her, meaning her daughter, from California to Texas. The last 15 years, I keep, I gift, and I donate. Okay, so thank you, DDR Quilter, for weighing in on that and answering the questions. And the other person who had weighed in on it was a young girl who works at the local quilt shop. And she says that mostly she makes the quilts to give away. She has a sister and family that lives in South Africa. So I've seen at least one or two quilts. I've seen her there working on that she was going to be sending to them. And I would bet that one of the quilts that she can't give away is the beautiful lighthouse quilt that she's currently working on. She's actually done two. She's got one that's a winter scene and one that's a summer scene. And the winter scene is hanging in the shop. And the summer scene, she's still working on. So I would bet that, you know, that's a lot of work and probably one that she would never want to give away. So thank you to the people who replied. And I think for this podcast question, this is a little more direct and maybe we'll get some more responses from it, hopefully. But here's the question. If you could take a quilting class with any teacher, anyone, who would it be? Who would you pick to take a class with? So that's a nice, easy one. So drop me a comment here on Podbean or iTunes, or come to my blog, quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, or tweet it to me, or go visit my Facebook page, which is Quilt Cabana Patterns on Facebook. But somehow get me your answer, and we'll read them in the next podcast. So that is the question. If you could take a class with any quilt teacher, who would it be? And why? Tell me why. All right, so I think that does it for this podcast episode. I think that I'm going to be sticking with the podcast and also the video cast. I wasn't sure if I would replace one with the other, but I still think more people probably listen to the podcast than have seen the video cast. So if you haven't, please, please spread the word. And go check it out yourself. And I will still be podcasting. I am still hoping to podcast through the summer. I know the last couple of summers I have not done that, but my kids are a little bit older now and they like to sleep late. So maybe if I break it up into different sections, I can definitely still get a podcast out. So enjoy your week. Have a super day. I hope you get lots of quilty goodness done. And I'll talk to you next time. And you could just don't forget, you can also reach me at SewSandy, and that's Sandy with an I, SewSandi at yahoo.com. All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Oh, one little correction. If you're reaching me at the SewSandy email, it's actually SewSandy8, SewSandy, the number 8, at Yahoo. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.